We're going to deal with Dover HaMiskayim today. The fact that you have to write with ink that will be Miskayim. The Mishnah on Kvadal and Vez, and it's also addressed by the Gemara, says, HaKosev B'diyo, B'sam B'sikro, B'chomos B'chantantum, B'chol Dover Shiroshim, I'll take, dot, Chayet. And shot in all this, later on it says, "B'chol davar she'en miskayim is patur." Is that you have to write with something which is miskayim? That's when you're chayv. If you write with something which is not miskayim, so then you are patur. So this year, I think we're going to deal with three different issues. The first issue is, why does it have to be miskayim with regards to the ink? If you notice in the Mishnah only discusses the actual ink. It does not discuss the actual parchment itself, only the ink. So the first thing we'll discuss is just the ink. Second thing we'll discuss is with regards to the parchment. Does the parchment also have to be miskayim? And, or, what's the din in the fact that it has to be miskayim? And the third issue, we'll discuss the halacha l'maaseh applications of miskayim. Okay, so if you saw the Rishonim, this is the Rashba, the Ritva, they all say that this din of miskayim comes from Hilchos Gittin. We get this from Hilchos Gittin, regards to the actual writing. We're just discussing the actual writing of the ink. The ink itself, and not with regards to the parchment yet. We will discuss that. So it comes from Hilchos Gittin. The truth is that with regards to Shabbos itself, there's also a concept of requiring something to be miskayim, based on Melachas Machshavas. This is really also in Habona. This is the Gemara, this is the Mishnah, and Kuf Beis and Beis. It says that Klal Kol Ha'usam Malachol Malachim Miskayimus B'Shabbos Chayit. With regards to Malachim Shabbos, there's also a din because Malachim Shabbos, there's a din that everything has to be Miskayim, has to be permanent. There's a discussion with regards to Malachim Shabbos, how permanent something has to be with regards to Shabbos. If you saw the Rambam that I quoted in Tesiyat Gimel. The Rambam Tesiyat Gimel refers to Malachas Machshavas and Shabbos. It says as follows. Towards the end, he says, "V'chol she'ein melachto miskayemes b'Shabbos pater." Whenever you have melacha which is not miskayemes b'Shabbos, so then you are pater. This is in Tesiyat Gimel, and the Shaar HaTzion. There's a machlokes about this, but the Shaar HaTzion is medayik in the Rambam. It says, "V'chol she'ein melachto miskayemes b'Shabbos." What defines whether it's miskayem or not? Says the Shaar HaTzion is that if it lasts through Shabbos, as long as it lasts through Shabbos, so then you're chayev. If it does not last through Shabbos, so then you're pater. So whatever you do with malacha, whether you do it Friday night, whether you do it Shabbos morning, if it will last throughout Shabbos, so then you're chayev. If it will not last throughout Shabbos, so then you're pater. That's what the Shaar HaTzion says. Others argue in terms of this deek in the Rambam.
Throughout Shabbos means after Shabbos?
Yeah, it has to last till after Shabbos. If it lasts through Shabbos, that's what's called miskayim with regards to Melachos Machshavas. Others argue in terms of the Deacon Rambam. That's what the Shaar HaTzion says. And the Rashba says that no, it has to last for some extended time period. It depends on the Melacha, exactly how long it has to be for, whether it's a few days, it has to last for longer than just up to and through Shabbos.
How else would you read the Rambam?
That it's something which is miskayim. It's good. I think it is a good deal, but in the Tesiyat Gimel, Chol she'ein melachtem miskayim es b'Shabbos, meaning on Shabbos, whoever doesn't perform a melacha which is miskayim, then you're pater. Not that it has to be through Shabbos.
Rashi reads like that.
Rashi on the Mishnah.
Rashi in the Mishnah.
On Kuf Gimel. Kuf Beis. On the Mishnah, yeah. So there's a whole din in that Rashi.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different Rashi. I don't want to get into that, but there's an issue with that Rashi. That's what the Rambam says. The Rashi says that it has to last for a significant time period, and it's unclear. It depends on the Malacha for a few days. That's all with regards to Malachas Machshavas. Because there's a din with regards to Shabbos that it has to be Malachas Machshavas, it has to be a Pashim Malacha, it has to be Miskayim. But you have to differentiate between Malachas Machshavas and just a regular din of how do you define what writing is. I mean, there's the concept of something that requires required to be permanent because of Shabbos? And then you have a second question of maybe it has to be permanent just in order to define what writing is. And it seems from these Rishonim that they want to learn from Gittin. Oh, we have another place in the Torah, like Gittin. The Gemara also discusses learning from Sefer Hilchos Sefer Torah. We have other places where we're learning from other places to define what is Ksiva, what is the proper Ksiva, and what's a permanent Ksiva. So we're learning from Gittin. So independent of the concept of Melachos Shabbos that has to be permanent for, let's say, according to the Rambam, until the end of Shabbos, there's a separate din with regards to some Melachos that has to be permanent just for it to be defined as writing. If it's not permanent, this isn't called writing. Not because of Shabbos or Melachos Shabbos. It's just because how do you define what Ksiva is? You can only define something as Ksiva, as Kosev, if it's actually permanent. We find this also with regards to Kosher. Kosher, nodding, is one of the Melachos, so it has to be Miskayim. And there's different... So there's a whole discussion found in the Avni Nezer as to whether, with regards to the Kshira by Shabbos, does it have to be permanent because of Melachos Shabbos, or just in order to define something as a knot, it has to be permanent. Independent of Melachos Shabbos, just define something as a knot, it has to be permanent. I believe it's the Rav who said that what will come out is that it has to last for 24 hours with regards to tying a knot. And if you hold that it's based on it being a kesher, we only define something as a kesher shakayama. It lasts for 24 hours. So if someone borrows somebody else's tefillin and they change the knotting because they have to make it fit their head, size of their head, so you have to let it stay there for 24 hours because otherwise it's not defined as a knot. It's not a kesher shakayama. I mean, the purpose of the knot being lasting there for 24 hours is not a din in Shabbos. It's just a din in how to define what a knot is.
Like a shoelace might not have a potential.
So that we'll also discuss that. He's taking up time that also. We'll discuss that also.
Yeah, you can't change the knot in your tefillin right before you use it?
What?
You can't change the knot in your tefillin right before you use it?
It's not kosher. He's saying it's fine as long as you leave it there for 24 hours.
Right before.
As long as it's... What do you mean? As long as you keep it that way for 24 hours, it's fine. If you keep it there for 24 hours, it's Megal Mafreya that this was defined as a good knot.
Right, and if you would undo it, then after 12 hours, Mafreya, it was possible?
So, it's a separate issue that we'll deal with, hopefully, today, in terms of what happens if you undo it. It is permanent. It would stay there, if not for you, and you change it. So that's something I will discuss.
But according to what you're saying, then, if I want to adjust my filling, like, this happens all the time, right? You want to adjust it, you get it to the next thing, so you tighten the knot, you put it in your head, you realize you did it a little too loose.
Okay.
A little bit, and then you do it again, like one second later. According to you, that would mean the whole thing is kasher shenish.
No, because the last thing that you do, that makes it fit right. So then that's going to last.
But in the interim, I had a permanent knot. It just didn't fit me properly. It would have fit another guy properly.
But it's not about it fitting you properly. It's about whether you're going to change it or not. It's about whether it's viewed as kayama. That's the issue is whether it's kasher shakayama. Kasher shakayama defines whether it's a knot or not. Anyway, that's just regards to the kosher. With regards to Kosev, it seems to be from these Rishonim, at least with regards to the ink itself, that the ink has to be permanent. We learn it from Hilchos Gittin. So the reason why it has to be permanent is not just because of Melachos Machshavos with regards to Shabbos, but it's also because of this din of Kosev. In order for something to define this Kosev, it has to be permanent. So this could play out that with regards to, you might have to, this would have nafamina, because if you hold Melachos Machshavos, the Rambam is that it has to last until Shabbos ends, so perhaps in order to find Kosev, it would have to last for longer than just Shabbos. Maybe Ksiva, to define something as a Kosev, as a proper Ksiva, its permanence is different than the permanence that's required with regards to Melachos Machshavos. With regards to this other issue of undoing something, that naturally it would last forever, but let's say you were to undo it. So this is a machlokas amongst the poskim, whether that's defined as kayama or not. The Chazon Ish, if you saw that Chazon Ish, he discusses writing on, like, let's say you write on a cake and then on Shabbos, and then you plan on eating that cake on the same day, on Shabbos itself. So he just says that you're chayav for that. Because since you were the one that you wrote it, and it would have lasted for a significant time period, if not for the fact that you cut the piece of cake, so you would be chayiv. Because if something happens externally, so then you're still chayiv. It's permanent. On its own, it's permanent. It's just that externally, you're cutting it. So if you'd be chayiv. Others say that no. Like what the Rav was saying with regards to the Ritz Felon. And others would say that no. That even as long as you As long as you change it, so then it's no longer shokayam.
Are we saying that the chazan ish is saying specifically you cutting it, or have you told somebody in the family?
I don't think it's a difference. It's kol shein. He's talking about you. So kol shein if it doesn't help.
Okay, let's say you didn't tell somebody else and they did it.
For sure, also in that case. He told your chai. He told your chai if you do yourself.
Yeah, but he only chai, but if there's an external source that's cutting it, so then...
You are the expert. If you're cutting it in your chai, so then kol shein, if somebody else...
But it's out of your control. That's so the kol shein?
Yeah.
So you said the Rav would say there wouldn't be a problem because of why?
It would seem from his what he says with regards to tefillin, he says it's in a shal kayama. If you undid it, so it's in a shal kayama. So we see that.
Yeah, but what if the wording's already been there for 3 days?
What if what?
The wording's already been there for a couple of days, and the cake was made.
No, we're talking about if you undid it within, let's say, 24 hours, before the end of Shabbos. Let's say you undid it before the end of Shabbos. You cut the cake.
Undid as you wording on cake.
So you wrote the words on the cake Friday night, and you cut it Shabbos day.
Always like
okay, I'm not talking about what people do. I'm saying according to Chazon Ish, it would be chayev, because we don't take externally, if you cut it, if it becomes a miskayim, we don't take that into account. And others say that we do take it into account.
Is there a difference whether you put the letters on Shabbos or before Shabbos?
Yeah. Well, if you do it before Shabbos, so then you didn't do anything on Shabbos. Okay. We'll discuss Mochik next week.
What's the Chazon Ish's fire over
that? It's because on its own, it would last forever. Or a significant time period. So on its own, it's the Dabar Shel Kayama. The question is, does it, if it lasts on its own, so is that viewed as a Dabar Miskayim or not? Even though you're going to end up cutting it. Yeah.
Let's say you're a caterer, and you make cakes, right? And you always make the cake, let's say, Friday morning, and it always gets eaten at the kiddush.
Okay.
So lamaisa, this cake would last a long time if you would just leave it, but this cake always gets eaten. So is that considered a Ksiv Shel Kayama, or is it
maybe it's Omer Lekach?
Yeah.
It's Omer Lekach. So it might be that Omer Lekach plays a role, which might also impact the tefillin case, because if you borrow tefillin from somebody else, it's Omer Lekach that it's going to change back. So it might be that Omer Lekach plays a role. Over there, you're writing it on Shabbos. It impacts Mochik, the Malacha of Mochik. But we'll deal with that. We'll deal with Mochik
next.
It
might not even be a real Ksiva, because the Ksiva always gets undone.
Yeah, so that could impact it. That could impact it. It might relate to the following case. The Rambam in Yid Aleph Tes Zayin discusses the following case. Hakosev al Basaro, if you write on your skin, Chayev Mdei Shehu Or, Alpha Bishamimus Basaro Ma'averis Aksav, Lacherzman, Harizadoma Laksav Shinimchok. Let's say you write on your body. And it's natural for the ink to disappear based on because of the sweat of a person. So he says that you're still chayev. Says you're chayev. Why? Because it's no different than just writing something and it gets erased. So even though it's naturally omei lekach, so still it gets erased. So now we have to figure out. We had a machlokas before about whether if something's external, are you chayev for that or not? If externally it gets. So in this case, I'm not sure. Do we view this as omer lekach? That's probably your case of omer lekach. So do we view this as like outside factors that are undoing it or not? So according to the Chazon Ish, who holds that outside factors don't play a role and it's shtal kayama, so you have to know in terms of this case. So he'll say that you're. So we see that if it's omer lekach, you're still chayav. If you hold that outside factors do play a role, so then why are you chayav in this case? Right, if outside factors do play a role and it makes it initial kayama, so then why would you be chayv in this case? So then kol shekein in the case where it's omei lekach, if I cut the piece of cake, so then it's initial kayama anymore. So then kol shekein in this case, it should be viewed as initial kayama. So why are you chayv? So perhaps you could explain it as follows, and this is a little fancy. I think I saw this in Shulman's notes. When he did Shabbos. So perhaps you can explain as follows. We said that there are two different dinim as to why it has to be Shal Kayama. One is based on Malachas Machshavas, and one is based on the fact that Kosev has to be Ksiva Shal Kayama. In order to find something as writing, it has to be Ksiva Shal Kayama. And we also said that the shear for Kosev of Malachas Machshavas is different than the shir for could be different than the shir for kosev for the dinik siva. For malachas mashavas, it just has to last through Shabbos, according to the Rambam. But for the din of kosev, the shir could be, I don't know, 2-3 days, whatever it is. It could be longer. It's just different. The shir for kosev from malachas mashavas is different than kosev for the din of ksiva. So perhaps also the din as to whether externally there's an impact on the ksiva would be different whether it's based on malachas mashavas or whether it's based on kosev. With regards to malachas mashavas, what do I care about with regards to malachas mashavas? In the end of the day, it has to be a chashav malacha. What makes it a chashav malacha? If it lasts through Shabbos. If I cut the cake on Shabbos, so then midin malachas mashavas, I have not performed the chashav malacha because it didn't last through Shabbos. So externally, even though it would have lasted on its own, but because I went ahead and cut the cake, so now it's no longer defined as malachas mashavas. But perhaps when we're defining what a ksiva is, in terms of what is a writing, what is a proper writing that lasts outside the din of malachas mashavas, just even with regards to Hilchos Gittin, Hilchos Sefer Torah, so perhaps over there, external factors won't play a role. Because it's just a question of, is this ksiva a good ksiva? It's not about whether it's chashav in the end, but it's about the ksiva itself. Is this ksiva a good ksiva? So the fact that I erase it later on, so that won't impact whether this is a good ksiva or not. So there's a difference between malachas machshavas, having ksiva because malachas machshavas, and having ksiva shel kayama with regards to the din of kosev. For malachas machshavas, it has to last through Shabbos, and if I cut it on Shabbos, so then it's no longer malachas machshavas. But if I erase something, so that's still what I wrote. The letters that I wrote was still a good ksiva with regards to it could be viewed as a good ksiva with regards to other dinim. It's not about it being malachas machshavas. It's not about being a chasha malacha. It's just about it. Whether on its own it'll be viewed as a good writing.
Why would only the pack only apply to malachas?
Well, we're going within the opinion that holds that even just even externally, if you just cut the cake, even if it's not omelaka, it would be inushal kayama. So then kol shekein, if it's omelaka, it'll be inushal kayama. We're taking within that approach. I think Rishon wants to explain as follows. The case over here is where it's going to last through Shabbos. It's Pasha that's going to last through Shabbos. Which also is a mistaber. If you read in your hand, it's going to last through Shabbos. The fact that you sweat, unless you're in Florida and you walk outside for like 3 seconds, so then you start sweating a lot. But Pasha says it's not going to race over Shabbos. If you write something on your hand, it's not going to race over Shabbos. What we're dealing here is a case where it's going to race naturally on its own. It's only the cost that it'll disappear in a few days after Shabbos. So if it were to erase on Shabbos in a Hanami, so you would not have, it would not be a malachas mashavas, it won't be chashav, and it would be pater. But over here, it's going to erase after Shabbos. So the only thing that we're concerned about is whether it's defined as a ksiva on its own. B'chol HaTorah Kulo. Is this defined as something which is viewed as writing? So in terms of whether it's defined as writing or not, so there we don't care about external factors. So then even though it's going to erase after Shabbos, we don't care about external factors, and you'll still be chayav. Did you say this again? There you go. There are two dinim. I'll just say it again, and then I'll ask your question. There are two dinim in ksiva. There's malachas mashavas, and then just the regular din of ksiva b'chol Torah kula. With regards to malachas mashavas, if you're of the opinion that says that if you cut it, then you're pater, because it's not shel kayama, it's not a chash malacha, so that's only with regards to malachas mashavas, because it's not a chash malacha, it didn't last through Shabbos. In the end of the day, this was not chashav enough. So even if you cut it, it didn't have a great impact. It's not a significant impact enough for it to be chayav and shabbos. But there's a separate din of kosev.
When you say last through Shabbos, you mean 24 hours, same thing?
No, let's say last till the end of Shabbos. It could be 24 hours, but it could be 5 hours also.
In a case where it was written on Shabbos, per se?
Yeah, we're talking about a case where it was written on Shabbos. You're doing this on Shabbos.
I'm talking about a cake.
Well, a cake could also be written on Shabbos. But we're dealing with a cake. We're dealing with a case where you wrote on your hand. This is the Rambam's case. You wrote on your body,
right,
on Shabbos. So if it were to disappear on Shabbos in a Hanami, you'd be pater. If it were to disappear on your skin on Shabbos, you'd be pater because it's not malachas mashavas. But let's say it would last through Shabbos, but it would disappear after Shabbos. It would disappear on Sunday from your sweat. So now it's no longer a discussion of malachas mashavas because it lasted through Shabbos. The whole discussion here is just, do we define this as a ksiva or not? Is this defined as kosev? B'chol Torah Kula, there's a din that in order for writing to be viewed as a writing, it has to last. So with regards to that, we don't care about externally if it evaporates or not, if it disappears. That's not our concern. It's just a question of whether this on its own could last. Then it's viewed as a good ksiva. It's not about it being chashev or not, in terms of lasting. Melech machshev is that it has to have an impact. It's just a question of, is this ksiva, is this ink a good ksiva? L'mashal, we're going to see, we'll see in a few minutes, the Shita of the Rambam. The Shita of the Rambam is, according to some, in the Pashas of the Rambam, is that the ink has to last, but the parchment does not have to last, with regards to the Gittin. The ink has to last, but not the parchment. But if the parchment's not going to last, then the ink won't last either. But it doesn't make a difference, because it's just a din in the ink. The ink has to last. Even if the parchment won't last. It's a din in the ink itself. The ink has to last. That's what defines a good ksiva.
The definition of lasting?
Like how long?
Yeah.
It has to be significant. I don't know the exact number. It has to be a significant davar shel kayama.
But didn't you say that if I get in, also the parchment has to last?
No, for the Rambam it does not have to last. So it's just a din in the ink. The ink has to last, but not the parchment. Because we don't care about lamaisa whether it lasts or not. I'm not saying everyone holds like this. This is what the Rambam says. It's not about lamaisa whether it lasts or not, but it's whether this ink is viewed as good enough ink to be defined as writing. So even if it will evaporate after Shabbos, not evaporate, if it will disappear after Shabbos, which is the kimta that Rosh Hashanah is making in this Rambam, that it's going to last up to Shabbos, so it's not a melech l'mach Shabbos issue. The only issue that we're dealing here is whether it's defined as ksiva, like the ksiva b'chol Torah kula. So with regards to that, we don't care about external factors. Yeah.
For Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam agrees that you need to be writing al gabe davar hamiskayim.
It's true. It's true. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that, Rambam. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah.
So can we just say one more?
There's a difference.
How are we being mechalik between the case of erasing a cake and the case of writing on your arm?
There is no difference. But if you were to write it on Shabbos and erase it on Sunday, so there is no difference. And
so with the cake or your arm?
Let's say the cake.
Okay.
You would write the cake on Shabbos and then have the cake on Sunday. So then according to this, you'd be chayiv also because you fulfilled Melachos Machshavos because it lasted through Shabbos. And with regards to the din of Ksiva B'chol Torah Kula, we don't care if you personally are the one that erased it. If it erases on its own, so then it's a problem. But because then that's not defined as a sufficient writing. But if you were the one that did it, so then that wouldn't be viewed as a problem. That's just an external factor which is causing it to get erased.
Is Melachos Machshavos and Kayama the same thing?
Depends on the context.
So I'm really confused. There's like a bunch of different factors.
There are two issues.
Is it defined by writing? There's Melachos Machshavos. Is it Kayama or is it not? Are those three different things?
Well, Kayama is a din. It depends on the melacha that you're talking about. But the Melachos Machshavos tells me it has to last. Let's say only we're in the Rambam. Melachos Machshavos tells me it has to last through Shabbos. Okay. There's a separate din that we see from the fact that Rishon will compare this to Hilchos Gittin with regards to Kosev, the melacha of Kosev, that in order for a writing to be proper writing, it has to be permanent with permanent ink. Beyond Shabbos. That's Kayama. That's what you're referring to as Kayama.
Oh.
So for Shabbos, we need to know lemaisa, is it going to last through Shabbos? So if I cut the cake, or it disappears, the ink on my hand disappears on Shabbos itself, that's not Melachos Machshavos. It didn't last through Shabbos. As a tzotzah, it was not a chash of melacha for it to last through Shabbos.
Because the ink, because why? Why not? Because it's not a kayama? It's not kayama?
It didn't last, it wasn't viewed as a chash of melacha, but it didn't last through Shabbos.
Because it wasn't the right kind of ink and it's not even ksiva.
I mean, it depends on the case. If it could be the right kind of ink that you put on your hand, but it's because your hand because you sweat, so it's omer lekach. Therefore, it's gonna disappear over Shabbos. Not just a specific type of ink; it could be a circumstance. Or if I cut the cake, I write on the cake and I cut the cake.
It's not melachos machshavos.
So it's not melachos machshavos. But in terms of the din of ksiva b'chol Torah kula, with regards to that, so all I care about is whether the ink has potential to last forever. Not about it whether an actualization will last forever, it's just about its potential to last forever. If it has potential to last forever, so then it'll be viewed as ksiva. even if in the end of the day I erase it. As long as it has potential to last forever, so I don't have a dinik tzibur. Fine. So that's all with regards to the ink itself. So with regards to the ink itself, it seems pretty clear from the Rishonim that it's a din both in Melechus HaShemes, and it's also there's a din in B'Ksiv B'Chol Torah Kula. What about with regards to the parchment? So the Mishnah doesn't discuss the case of parchment. It doesn't discuss the what it's written on. It doesn't discuss that at all. With regards to Gittin, the Mishnah does discuss it. When you write a get, it says also the same list with regards to the ink, and then it says also Kosvin ala Ola Shel Zayit. You can write it on Ola Shel Zayit. It does discuss what you're writing it on. In our mission in Shabbos, it doesn't discuss that. There's a Tosefta which they bring down, which does discuss it, the Rishonim bring it down, that says that it also has to be written Ola Shel Zayit. So Tosfos in Gittin, and Chof Alpha and Beis, and Devin Maskel Ola Shel Zayit, which is really just commenting on the Mishnah, it's not really commenting on the Gemara, says Dafka Ola Shel Zayit. When we say Ola Shel Zayit in the Mishnah, it's Dafka Ola Shel Zayit. Because an Ola Shel Zayit is permanent.
What exactly is that?
Olive leaf. That's a good question. So, on an Ola Shel Zayit, if it's a Tosfos is a Dafka Ola Shel Zayit because it's Miskayim. Because it's permanent. And the Tosefta also, this is what they're trying to bring down, they compare for Shabbos, with regards to Shabbos, that the Ksiva also has to be on something which is permanent, and they connect it to Gittin, where it has to be on something which is permanent. That's what the Rishonim do. However, the Rambam, when he's discussing Hilchos Gittin, he doesn't say Ola Shel Zayit is Dafka, and in Hilchos Gerushin, Dalet Gimel, he just says Va'al Ha'olim on the leaves. And Achronim are medayik, the Avnei Nezer is also medayik in this, and the Orachaim Simon Rish test. There's medayik in the Rambam, that with regards to Gittin, it's Lav Dafka Ola Shel Zayit. It could be any leaf, even if it's not permanent. So according to the Rambam, with regards to Hilchos Gittin, the ink has to be permanent, but not the parchment, but not that which you're writing on. It's specifically a din. It's a din in the ink. The ink has to be permanent, but not the actual paper that you're writing on. Avnezer says it's a dig, and he says Va'ala Olin. He says it doesn't. He doesn't say. He doesn't specify Ola Shel Zayit. So you have this machlokes Rishonim between Tosfos and the Rambam as to whether the parchment of the paper of Gittin, whether that has to be permanent or not. With regards to Shabbos, the Rambam's clear that it does have to be permanent. Even the actual paper has to be permanent. So what comes out for the Rambam is that the ink, you can learn out, the ink has a din ksiva b'chol Torah kula. Because we have a concept of ink being permanent b'chol Torah kula from the Hilchos Gittin. But the din that the parchment or the paper has to be permanent with regards to Shabbos, it does have to be permanent with regards to Shabbos. But that is only a din in Melechus Machshavas. The fact that the paper has to be permanent, why does the paper have to be permanent on Shabbos but not with regards to Gittin? By Gittin, it doesn't have to be permanent. The Garza Shabbos has to be permanent. Why? So the Avnei Nezer says this. He argues, and he holds like the other Rishonim. But he says for the Rambam, what would come out is that on Shabbos, the reason why the paper has to be permanent is just a din of Melachos Machshavas. Because it's Bichashav, that's the last Shabbos. Lasting through Shabbos, I think some say, means also 24 hours. Shabbos is 24 hours. That's the lasting through Shabbos. It could be 24 hours. But the point is that with regards to Melachos Machshavas, you need to have the paper last. But it's not a din in Kol Torah Kula, according to the Rambam. So according to the Tosfos, both the ink and the paper lasting is a din in Kol Torah Kula. Not just a din in Melachos Machshavas. But with regards to the Rambam, for the Rambam, the ink lasting is a din in Melachos Machshavas and a din in Kol Torah Kula. How did the time of Kosev is? But with regards to the paper, that's only a din in Melachos Machshavas. Yeah.
According to the Rambam, would he say that the cake is not from the paper?
The cake is not permanent. is not permanent.
Oh, maybe it's an ice cream cake. So if you left it on the counter, eventually.
You're saying, why are you saying only according to the Rambam? Everybody needed to be permanent.
No, but does the Rambam say that the cake?
Everything is permanent. The question is, does it have to be permanent because just because of Hashem? Also because of the incosate itself. Yeah.
Doesn't this kind of like mess up what we were trying to say earlier about kosei v'apsaro? That the Rambam says that the parchment is only usher because of the malachas machshavas.
I think this is not the parchment. This is not the paper. It's the actual. It's the ink getting erased. It's not that the paper, your skin is going to last forever.
Okay. We're not dealing with what it's on. The skin itself would be miskayim.
Yeah, would be miskayim.
Like, the chamimus.
Yeah. It's a question of erasing the actual ink. We're dealing with the ink thing. Actual ink. Okay. So now I just wanted to... I'll take a few minutes to discuss halach l'maisa. Wait, so I'll try to go real quickly. In Shin Mem Dalin, it's interesting, l'maisa cases of miskayim, especially with regards to doctors. In Shin Mem Dalin, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh lizar shal listo betzbo b'mashin al shulchan. He says, one should be careful not to write with one's finger on, like, water, to create something with water on the table. He says, Yesh lizar, because it's not permanent. It's just, it's an Issa d'Rabbanan. Even though it's not permanent, it's pater. It's still pater v'lasar, there's still an Issa d'Rabbanan. It's not miskayim. It's not going to last. It's still an Issa d'Rabbanan.
Is it even water? Mashkin, can you even water? Or is it just the colored thing?
Why was your chalak?
It's like clear.
You can still tell them the difference.
Like
there's Mishnah Berurah. I'll tell you. The Mishnah Berurah says that in Shin Mem Chaf, he says even if you have like a foggy glass,
right. Oh, yeah.
To just you know play around there, there would also be an Issa d'Rabbanan.
Right.
I'm not sure, but I would assume also if it's just with water on the table, there would be an Issa. The Ramah points out in Shin Mem Dalad, Ava Mutter Lirsham Ba'avir Kimin Osia. You're allowed to make letters. You're allowed to spell out letters in the air. That's not even viewed as anything. That's not viewed as anything. That's why they say that shadows are also allowed to create a shadow. As long as it's not a permanent shadow, as long as them, whatever that is. So they discuss, I guess, when in cases with regard to hospital, they discuss, let's say you leave the projector on before Shabbos. And you just want to put slides on the projectors on Shabbos. Would that be allowed? You're just putting the slide on. So is that equivalent to the Ramaz case? Where you're just, creating letters in the air. Is it equivalent to that? That is completely mutter or not. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that that's allowed. Just leave the projector on from before Shabbos and just put the slides on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's allowed. And Rav Osner says that that's Zilzul Shabbos.
Who is it?
Rav Osner.
I thought Rav Osner said the only reason why it's mutter is because in Shimon Nikar, like in this case, it's very Nikar.
Yeah. But I guess it's an extension, but I guess part of it is that it's not like... There's no mushes there, yeah. I part of the heter. No mushes. Okay, we'll just discuss a bunch of different cases, and we'll stop. Ink that disappears after Shabbos. It disappears. This was a question that was asked for doctors. Could doctors use ink that disappears? It'll disappear after Shabbos.
What about ink that appears after Shabbos?
I'm sorry.
What about ink that appears after Shabbos?
It's delayed. Like, it needs to oxidize.
And the reason why you're doing this is just like for fun?
The same reason with
the right thing on Shabbos, technically you're not writing anything. It just doesn't show up.
You're performing the mice and the tzitzah happens after Shabbos. My guess is that that's also there. Not in the tzitzah and the tzitzah rabbanon. You have other malachos also where the mice happens on Shabbos and the tzitzah happens after Shabbos.
Right. Yep.
But that's not, I'm sorry? Zareah, for example. I mean, the machlok is Mechelsenach or Shashter, whether it's the Tzotzah there, which is the Malacha. But you have this, by the way, other Malachos. Anyways, but back to the case where the ink disappears after Shabbos, so that really depends whether it's an Issa D'Oraisa or not on, we pointed out before, according to the Rambam, if it lasts through Shabbos, so then it's Aser. So if you hold like the Rambam, which is the Minchas Yitzchak says this, so then it is Yudah Shel Kayama, that will still be an Issa D'Oraisa, and you don't benefit at all from using such ink. it's only going to disappear after Shabbos. You don't benefit. It won't reduce it to Nisar Derabanan. But Rav Shlomo Zalman passes like the Rashba. The Rashba says that it has to last for a few days. So then Rav Shlomo Zalman says that you would benefit from that. If you're going to have to write, so then it's better to write with ink that will disappear in a few hours. So after Shabbos. Right. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that it. The question is whether it's Asa Derabanan or Asa Deraisa.
If you hold like the Rambam,
it lasts so you don't benefit from it. It's still an Asa Deraisa. If you hold like the Rashba, it has to last till Tuesday, let's say. He doesn't say give it a defined number. You can use, what's the difference whether you use permanent ink or ink that will last through Shabbos?
You don't benefit in terms of
using this, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you mean you don't benefit from the writing.
No, it's an Asa Derabanan, but for doctors, that they have to write anyways. Let's say it's in a case where you have to write anyways, you gain.
How about you're just writing with a symbol?
What do you mean a symbol?
Well, like in camps, a lot of times, like they need to mark down that people come to their medication, so they'll like dot with those pens. Is that a symbol next to their own?
They just dot?
They just put a dot next to their name.
So it's probably mutter because you have to do it. You have to do it for a chola. But it would be better to do the dot as opposed to writing it out chola. That's why they do it. On its own, it would still be an Esedra Abana.
Yeah. Sorry, just say one more time.
Rishon Zalman says that it is better. It is better to use this type of ink because you change it from to using ink which is miskayim to ink which is not miskayim. Because he holds like the Rashba, exactly.
When we see the Rama, you know, like the Shar Tzion, the Diak, and the Rama.
Exactly. Computers, next case.
Where's that Rashba?
I'll find it. I forgot exactly where. I'll find it for you. With regards to computers, Rav Osner says to write on a computer is an Issa Deraisa because it's Miskayan, it's going to last. Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashav and Rav Shechter say that it's only an Issa Derabanan because it's not like real writing. There's no paper, there's no ink, it's not real writing. Next case, Rabbi Ribiat, in his 39 Malachos. Yeah.
So, would the same Achokas, would we have the same Achokas by like erasing Hashem's name on the computer? I mean, that everybody would say it's at least like an Issa Derabanan to erase Hashem's name.
Rabbi Osner says it's Issa Derabanan with regards to the computer.
Right. So, would that be an Issa Derabanan to erase Hashem's name?
I'm not sure. It might be the Hagdara is different. Okay. So, Lamatas Malachos discusses, you're not in the parsha right now, but. Like, you know, with etch sketches or whatever you call it? With, like, kids, you know? Yeah. So that's only an Issa Derabanan.
What does he do? Oh, this thing is so fun. There's a magnetophone.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm in the parking lot. That's, I do it all the time.
Wait, you play it on Shabbos?
What?
You play it on Shabbos
also? No, I'm kidding. I'm not, only not on Shabbos. Not on Shabbos, I'm not. It's an Issa Derabanan.
No, Bromberg has one.
Oh,
that's different.
That's like, okay, so that's an Issa Derabanan.
So therefore, it would.
It's an Issa Derabanan. I mean, if you want to use it, these are all. It's all good to know in case like doctors want to use this. In order, if you have to use it, if you have to write.
Kids, like, would you be saying that like it's not a big deal if kids do it?
No, kids, once you reach the age of chinuch, they also have to be worried in terms of that. Okay, last two cases, and then we'll stop. Walking on soft dirt with shoes that have letters. As you walk, I think everyone says that that's allowed. It's a suffix whether it's actually in close writing. It's definitely in a miskayim. You don't have kavana for that. So I think everyone says that's mutter. In darker bekach. Finally, the last case. Walking in front of a camera. A video camera. So first we'll discuss the case of you don't really care about being seen. You don't want the camera there. I think Lamaisa nowadays, everywhere you walk, there's some sort of camera. So you're always walking in front of some sort of camera. So some say that at best it's an Issa Derabanan because it's not Miskayim. They say that it's a video camera is not Miskayim and it's not Darka Bekah. So at best it would be an Issa Derabanan. But I think this is Rishon Zalman. Rishon Zalman says that it's not even Issa Derabanan, because these are two Derabanan, it's in Darka Bekach, and it's not Miskayim, and he says, it's a psikresh de lo nichalai, you don't really want this. because you're just walking around there, you don't really care whether you're seen or not. So it's a psikra zilan nitalei, and a trader abanam, because there are two derabanans here, Thomas Kaim, and it's not dark or bakaf.
It's
not. They say that it's Thomas Kaim because I think they all these cameras, they read over each other.
Also, if this is the way a camera is used, maybe it is dark or
bakaf. No, it's not the normal way to write.
Wait, what if you're, let's say someone's traveling from a bad neighborhood,
so
and then you do one.
So we'll get to when it's Nikolai. So right now you don't want it, so Rosh Hashanah says it's allowed. There's an additional hatter which some use, which is based on a Rashba, in regards to Malachas Tzad, who says that if you have, there's different ways to explain this Rashba, and we generally don't like to pass on based on this Rashba. But the Rashba says, with regards to malach hatzad is the malach of trapping. So let's say you have a dog in your house, and you come home from shul. You come home from shul, you open the door. The dog can now leave. But really, he's really discussing a deer, because the dog is a domesticated. You have a deer in your house. So you open the door, so the deer can now leave. Now you close the door and you lock the door. So have you just performed the malach of tzad? The Rashba says no, and the whole discussion is what pshat is in the Rashba. I don't want to get into, but some explain that since your whole, we can't even connect you locking the door just because you entered into your house to the fact that there's a deer in your house. There's no connection between the two. So you walking in the street and there happens to be some sort of video camera there, so there's just, you happen to be walking, you're doing your normal walk back home from shul, there has to be a video camera there, so we can't even relate, connect the action of it's different than a psikrisha. It's not even misasek. It's just there's just no connection between your action and what's being done. There's absolutely no connection. The question is, how do you magdir when this is misasek, when this is this other case of the Rashba? But someone apply that in this case. Anyways, that's when it's lo nichalei. Finally, when it's nichalei, let's say you want it. For example, you're going through a bad neighborhood, or you have the security camera for your own house. Or in the Gwak based medrash, there's a security camera. So on Shabbos, when you go through, so then there should be it's nichalei. You want to make sure there's a security camera there because it's for your own security. You can claim it's not for your own security. It's really, it's Richard Joel's problem. It's not your problem. So you could claim that. That is a valid claim. It's still his problem. I think he'll admit that it's his problem. Fine. So there's, you can still base yourself on a heter that this is the normal way to walk, and I'll trade the rabbanon, and perhaps it's lo nichalei. Fine. So there are various terms that you can rely upon in terms of walking.